Talk about a dramatic start. This season's league phase got off to a flyer on a thrilling night across Europe. There were 23 goals across six brilliant matches. And while some of the usual suspects are up and running, we also had history for two clubs. We'll talk through all the big stories over the next 30 minutes. And we'll look ahead to Wednesday and Thursday's games on week one of the new UEFA Champions League campaign. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott, and a good evening as well to the European football expert Kevin Hatchard and commentator Richard Connolly. We're recording this just as the Marseille players are applauding their away fans, and Kylian Mbappe is walking off with the official player of the match award at the Bernabeu. Much more on Real Madrid's victory over Marseille shortly, but I mean, what an opening night. I mean, every time you looked up, there was a goal flying in, there was a save being made, it was all sorts happening.
Yeah, it was a night of terrific fun and excitement and drama, and to a certain extent, unpredictability, and yet some things stayed the same. There was a lot mixed in. It was great to be a part of.
Goals, stories, comebacks, everything we love about the Champions League.
On night one, and we've still got two more nights this week and a whole season to look forward to. Okay, this is how it finished on Tuesday, eventually. So much happened. Cannot wait to talk through it all. PSV 1, Union Saint-Gilloise 3. First ever Champions League game for the Belgium side. And what a performance. Athletic Club 0, Arsenal 2. Benfica 2, Karabakh 3. The first ever win for a team from Azerbaijan in the Champions League proper. And they were 2-0 down in Lisbon. Juventus 4, Borussia Dortmund 4. You heard that right. 4-4 in Turin. And Tottenham 1, Villarreal 0. We're going to start at the Bernabeu. Richard and Kevin were watching on as Real Madrid took on Marseille.
Real Madrid caught napping here by Mason Greenwood for Marseille. He's got to the edge of the box. He plays the pass to Weah, who scores for Marseille. There's a shock on the opening night of this Champions League campaign. Timothy Weah at the Bernabeu. As Real Madrid just were caught napping for an instant, and they were punished. Here's Arda Güler moving it nicely round the corner to Rodrigo. This time he does go over the leg, and this time it's a penalty. He was certainly caught there by Kondogbia, and the referee had no hesitation. Pointed straight to the spot, and here's the chance to equalise. Here comes Mbappe from the spot, and he scores! High over the keeper's dive to the left-hand side. Kylian Mbappe on the score sheet in the Champions League again. The referee does the square in the air, goes to the top pocket, and will produce the red card. He's going to show it in a second to Dani Carvajal of Real Madrid. And there are 20 minutes remaining in this game, and the Real Madrid skipper is going to walk. Vinicius with the ball back, Tchouameni, low ball through, and Vinicius has got it, and he's denied by the block of Medina. That was brave defending. No, he's pointed to the spot! He says penalty to Real Madrid. There must have been a handball in there. Match day one. Kylian Mbappe from the spot for the second time tonight scores. Rulli got a strong hand to it, but he couldn't keep it out. And it's Mbappe from the spot at the double. And the 10 men of Real Madrid have turned this game around. Real Madrid 2, Marseille 1.
9 minutes from time, Kylian Mbappe did it, the France international against Marseille. And it was a landmark night for a couple of reasons for Real Madrid with their new coach this season, Richard.
Yes, it was. So a terrific first night in the Champions League as Real Madrid manager for Xavi Alonso, but also a 200th win in the competition for Real Madrid. They're the first to that mark, and the second penalty from Kylian Mbappe was their 700th goal in the competition. So two landmarks, but more importantly, 3 points.
Yeah, 3 points. And as we talked about last season, to finish in the top eight, I know it's only night one, 16 points was required for the top 24. It was 11 points. Anyone under 24, of course, gets eliminated. So much jeopardy with this new league phase and drama. We saw it all at the Bernabeu. Marseille taking the lead in the 22nd minute, as you heard there. Then Mbappe's first penalty to draw them level. Then Danny Carvajal was sent off after a VAR review following an altercation with the Marseille goalkeeper. But, Kevin, as we've seen throughout the history of the competition, but in particular, it feels like the last 5-10 years, as well as the utter brilliance from Real Madrid, they consistently find a way. Sometimes when, you know, things go against them, that they have this resolve in the Champions League, and it looks like under Xabi Alonso, it's going to be the same story. And that is a vital attribute and quality to have, right?
Well, we rightly talk about tactics and we analyse different shapes and how teams play, but there are also intangibles. And what is amazing about this Real Madrid team is the lack of any kind of fear at any stage. And it is pressure. If they'd have lost this game, that would have made negative headlines. Xabi Alonso, you know, it's not the start that he wants to make, even though they've won every game in La Liga. You know, Real Madrid are one of the biggest clubs in the world. They're going to be under pressure when they lose games. But that never even enters their minds at any stage. And they go down to 10 men. Fine. Don't worry about that. It's okay. We'll just keep playing. They were up against a really, really good team.
Yeah.
Who I thought were excellent, yeah, actually, in so many departments. Yeah. But they just shrug it off. And they don't just do it in the UEFA Champions League. They do it in La Liga as well. There are so many games where you go, have they come out and won that? But the reason they do is because they're incredibly talented, but they have this iron will, and it doesn't seem to matter who the coach is. They always find a way.
Well, he is making adjustments, as you've said, during the course, yep, of the evening. But what's helping him to make those adjustments and giving him space to make them is the fact that they are winning games. And they're, you know, that's four of the five games they've played in this European season that they've won by a single goal. They've had red cards. Again, they had one at the weekend when Dean Howson was sent off. They've negotiated a way through to win that match. They've done it again tonight. And you've got figures like Eder Militao, the goalkeeper Courtois, Federico Valverde, who's been there so many times, Tchouaméni is a young player with enormous experience, and Mbappe himself. I mean, these are guys who have been there and done it, and they are still in the prime of their careers. They've been around the players who we've seen be part of the whole Real Madrid story, the Ronaldos, the Ramoses, the Modrics, the Kroses, who've moved on. But there is that culture there, that core of, they know how the greats have reacted over time in adversity. And they pass that legacy on to the new players joining that group. And that's the strength maintained down the years.
Kylian Mbappe has now scored 50 goals in 64 matches for Real Madrid in all competitions. Fastest player to reach that landmark for Los Blancos since Ronaldo in November of 2010. And he, this season, Kevin, you mentioned it before the game, we saw tonight in the match, he looks frightening for the rest of Europe, what I'm about to say. Razor sharp, yeah, this early on in a campaign.
And I actually thought he was great last season. I know there was a lot of talk about Kylian Mbappe is going to take a while to adjust, and he himself fueled that by saying, oh, I think I can do more, etc., etc. But the guy won the Pichichi, which is the La Liga top scorer award, scored 40-odd goals in all competitions. I thought he was brilliant last season, but he looks even better this time around. And I think what's interesting is that Xabi Alonso has said, right, I know your natural tendency is to come out to the left, fine, but I would like you in the middle as often as you can be. And that is where you want him, because he's an incredible talent.
And one on Marseille before we move on to, yeah, to the other the five games on a brilliant Tuesday. They're going to be ever so fun to watch. And I guess from Roberto De Zerbi's point of view, he'll dissect this game and think, if we play like this seven more times, we're going to be picking up points in the league phase.
I would say, first of all, to be absolutely clear, Geronimo Rulli made 13 saves tonight. Real Madrid created enough good chances to win the game. And I think over the piece, they deserved to win it. However, Marseille thrilled us with the bravery and the courage with which they played at the Bernabeu. This is a team with a really clear identity. They want to pass it out from their own goal line, literally. and they're prepared to do that on the biggest stage. And they did it with a degree of success. They were sharp and quick-witted. They've got some razor-sharp forwards, and the way they took the goal tonight was beautiful. Mm. Greenwood and Weah combined superbly to take it. On another night, they could have got something from this game, and nobody would have complained. Because whenever you're a fan of even one of the biggest clubs in the world, and you see a team come to your stadium and play with the intent that they did, you admire it. And we all did tonight.
And they had a big chance at 1-0 for Aubameyang, from memory, just before the equaliser. And if that goes in, I guess it's a different game. From the record 15-time winners winning a match to a team who are making their UEFA Champions League debut this evening. Union Saint-Gilloise from Belgium, who are a club more than 100 years old, but who won the title in Belgium for the first time in many a decade last campaign. And this was the moment they scored their first ever goal in this competition, courtesy of a penalty away at PSV Eindhoven.
The Canadian international looking to become their first ever goal scorer in the Champions League. It's David. He scores! And Union Saint-Gilloise lead in Eindhoven.
Promised David, writing his name into Union Saint-Gilloise folklore. They went on to win the game 3-1. Very impressive. And we can hear from their history maker now, the Canadian Promised David.
When we came into this, it's Union's first time in this league, and we just wanted to set a precedent that, you know, we're not a small club and we can compete at the highest level. And I think we came out here and, you know, we had a few mistakes, but we brought intensity, and, you know, we're just happy to take home 3 wins, and it means a lot to be, you know, the first goal scorer for a Champions League in this club's history. That's something I'll hold dear to my heart.
10 UEFA Champions League debutants in terms of the players, Kevin, in their starting 11. Only Kjell Scherpen, the goalkeeper, had played in the competition proper before tonight. A great story as a football club, and I mean, what a start for them to be on the league phase with 3 points.
Well, I always think if a team plays at this level for the first time and doesn't look out of place, that's a great sign. And PSV, I think, were unbeaten in 11 Champions League games at home. So it's a great run. They've won the Eredivisie in the last two seasons, dramatically so last time out, but they won it. This was not an easy game, but they got the early penalty and they kept on pushing. And even at 2-0, when I thought they might dial it down a bit, they were still committing men forward, still looking to score the third goal, which they eventually did. So a really promising start to the league phase for them.
Richard, you commentate weekly on the Eredivisie. I've got a stat for you in terms of the goal scorer for PSV at the end.
Go on.
Ruben van Bommel.
Okay.
That surname will ring true for many fans. He scored his first UEFA Champions League goal on this Tuesday, almost exactly 25 years. I think it's 24 years and 355 days since his dad, Mark, did so against Manchester United. And he is a player, a night that PSV were hoping to pick up points. But for Ruben van Bommel, an exciting forward and at least something to take from the evening for PSV moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, they are managing wholesale changes, as many teams are at this stage of the season, and they will get better, I think, as the season progresses. And they'll have plenty of chances to, you know, put on improved performances in this competition and show a better side of themselves. Van Bommel is certainly a talent, but if you look at Union Saint-Gilloise tonight, with only 37% of the ball, 18 shots, of which 8 were on target, they were ruthless with the possession that they had. And that will be a disappointment to Peter Bosch, who is a man who sets very high standards.
Why do you insist on making us feel so old, by the way? Did you have to mention that about Mark van Bommel? I feel ancient now. Thank you for that.
It's true. We're all at that age, unfortunately,
yes,
when suddenly people's sons are playing at very high levels.
I don't recall him. I have no recollection of the man at all.
He had a very good long-range shot. Right, where should we go next to? Sam Mames, I think, because Arsenal were highly impressive. The atmosphere was electric in Bilbao for Athletic's return to the competition for a decade away, really. And a big banner as the teams came out saying that Bilbao is unique in the world. Here is a sense of the wall of noise that greeted the players as they came out onto the pitch. scarves and shirts everywhere. Ground's undergone an incredible renovation, but it is one of the most atmospheric in European football. And Kev, Arsenal semi-finals last season and looked comfortable with quality and at ease again at this stage of the Champions League. A great night for Mikel Arteta's side.
Yeah, and this is why they are contenders to win it, because they've got that capability to go somewhere like San Mamés, and Bilbao's a great football city. The Basque region is a fantastic hotbed of football, not just for players but for coaches as well. We see so many top coaches, Arteta one of them, of
yes.
course,
yeah.
who's come out of the Basque country, and that they made that not look routine, but they were never ruffled really. They felt they were going to be able to get that result. Without the ball, they're the best team in Europe. I think they showed that in the Champions League last season. They pushed Paris all the way. The difference is going to be, can they turn draws into wins? Can in those tight moments they come up with what they need to? They'll hope that Gyökeres coming in from Sporting is going to help them do that. But the squad strength is big as well. And when you can bring on somebody like Martinelli and then bang, he scores the opening goal and uses his pace and it was a great finish, that's the difference really when you've got teams who can do that.
Well, let's hear from the Brazilian who was the official UEFA player of the match.
Yeah, it's a really complicated place to come in. They've got a really nice team, a good team, nice fans. The atmosphere was amazing. And yeah, we did well in the game. We controlled some parts of the game. Of course, they were playing at home, so they did well as well. But I think we were more clinical. And yeah, we deserved the win.
Martinelli off the bench to open the scoring. 36 seconds after he came on. That is the Gunners' fastest ever goal by a sub in the history of the UEFA Champions League. And another player off the bench, Leandro Trossard, the Belgium international, added that second goal. So a great night for Arsenal. Let's move to a match with 8 goals between Juventus and Borussia Dortmund. As I mentioned, it finished 4-4, Kev, but it was 0-0 at half-time. Very rarely. And I know maybe I'll get the stat by the end of this answer, but how many times have there been 8 goals in a single half of a UEFA Champions League?
Yeah, not
match?
Many. And Juventus beat Inter 4-3 at the weekend in what was an unbelievable game. And this was just as absorbing. And I'll tell you one thing, Catenaccio's finished. It's gone. There's none of that knocking around Italian football anymore. I thought, do you know what the thing that really stood out to me, actually, apart from Lloyd Kelly suddenly turning into Cristiano Ronaldo, because he scored a brilliantly taken goal at the weekend against Inter, Dusan Vlahovic, because for much of the summer, he was really heavily linked with a move away from the club. And he's actually really dug in, rolled his sleeves up and said, well, I'm going to show, actually, you can bring in Luis Openda, you can bring in Jonathan David, that's fine. I'm going to show him the best striker at this football club. I thought he was excellent. And not just the way he took his goals, but the way he made the equaliser for Kelly. I mean, he pulled out wide, super cross, Kelly with the perfect timing. I mean, you'd think it'd be the other way round, Kelly yeah. crossing for him. But it was a great goal. And as gutting as that will be for Dortmund, some comeback for Juve.
Your answer was perfectly long enough for me to find that stat. It is actually only the second time in UEFA Champions League history to feature 8 goals in the second half of a game after Bayern against Dinamo Zagreb in September of 2024, the first
was
night.
Was that the 9-2?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Most of those went in the same net, didn't they?
Yes.
Correct,
they did.
Correct. So we should probably go through the tail of the tape because, I mean, it was an amazing night. So the first goal only arrived in the 52nd minute when Adi Amy scored. Then we saw Yildiz with and please go to UEFA.com and the official Champions League app and watch the highlights of this. Yildiz with a very special equaliser. Nemecha went straight up the other end to make it 2-1. Then we had the first equaliser from Vlahovic. But then after Jan Kutu and a penalty for Bence Baini, Dortmund were 4-2 up until the 94th minute when, stick with me, Vlahovic made it 4-3 and then Kelly, you know, made it 4-4. So two goals in the space of probably 60 seconds right at the end of added on time. For Juve, that will feel like a win, even though it's only a point.
Yeah, it will, because what it does is it maintains the momentum of their start, because they've been winning games in Serie A. You've got to bear in mind, they only just qualified for this tournament last season. Igor Tudor got them over the line after the Thiago Motta experiment didn't quite work out. And he's done a good job because he took over. People weren't sure he'd get the permanent job, but he did. And they've started really well. You mentioned him, Kenan Yildiz. What a player.
Yeah.
What a player he is. And I think actually that's been one of the best things that Tudor has done, is revitalise him. And he is some player.
And we even had the drama of a VAR check for the Lloyd Kelly header,
yes,
to see if he was onside, but he was, and so it did finish 4-4 to another match with a dramatic comeback, this one historic, because it finished Benfica 2, Karabag 3. Karabag, the first team from Azerbaijan, as I mentioned, to win a match in the main draw of the UEFA Champions League, and they did so having been 2-0 down after 16 minutes to goals from Enzo Berenechea and Vangelis Pavlidis. But throughout the match, even in that first 16 minutes, they were playing brave attacking football. And then they mounted a stirring comeback, Kev. I mean, that is not only a historic 3 points, but now they will really believe that, you know, yeah, we can make a serious impact in the league phase.
Goes back to what I was saying about Union Saint-Gilloise. If you can look at home and look like you're not out of place at this level, that's half the battle. And what really stood out to me actually was that if you look at a couple of their players, Leandro Andrade and Abdellah Zubir, they're wide-ish players who really stood out in the qualifiers for them. Zubir's played like 300 odd games for Karabakh, and he made the winner, Zubir, and Andrade got the first goal, and it was a cracker. So their technical players, their big players, really came to the fore in this game. Amazing achievement.
And Richard, they came through three rounds of qualifying to make it to the league phase. So, and for many clubs across Europe, that is a victory in itself. They beat sides from the Republic of Ireland, from Macedonia, and from Hungary, where this season's final is going to be held in Budapest. So now to do it, to have 3 points on the board, all credit to Karabakh for the way they fought back.
Yeah, and the Stadio de Luz is one of the great, you know, venues of European football. To go there will provide them with such enormous confidence for the rest of the league phase. Again, they are another team tonight who will have proved to themselves that maybe greater things are possible than they imagined. And that's the beauty of moving up a level. You start to discover things about yourself you didn't know were possible.
And also perhaps the beauty of now having 36 teams at this phase. It means more qualifying spots. It means more teams, more matches, and more stories like that. So that is Tuesday's six matches, a whistle-stop tour, goals and drama everywhere. Apart from the fact we have not spoken about Tottenham Hotspur, who also had an excellent night beating Villarreal by a single goal. It came early on Thomas Frank's first match as a Champions League coach, continuing what has been a very impressive start to his reign.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for them to start well, because what will happen, and it always happens, is that people will look at Thomas Frank, and even though he's got a great reputation, and he should have, I think he's a really smart coach, really great talent developer, great tactically, not scared about embracing some of the old school stuff like set plays, long ball, that kind of thing at times. People will always say, well, he hasn't coached in the Champions League before. Well, he's got his first Champions League win now. So that was the start they needed. I think their transfer business over the summer was phenomenal, because you brought in Joao Palhinha on loan, who's one of the best defensive midfielders in the Premier League. Didn't work out at Bayern. They didn't really need that profile of player. Xavi, who I think is so talented and I think can really make a difference. Colin Mouani, who just became a market opportunity right at the end because his move from Paris to Juve fell through. I think they've added some real talent and depth to that squad. I'd be surprised if they don't qualify for at least the playoffs.
It was an own goal from the Villarreal goalkeeper, Luis Junior, from a right-wing cross that kind of bounced and spilled off him and went over over the goal line after only 4 minutes, which separated the teams. There was the most amazing tifo as Tottenham came out from that giant single-tiered south stand. They love Champions League nights. Of course, they went on that, you know, amazing historic run to the final under Mauricio Pochettino. But again, a club who you sense from speaking to Tottenham fans, from everything you see on social media, they love being in the competition, Richard, and they now they're on 3 points. They'll suddenly start plotting, oh, who can we get the next win against? How many points do we need to be in the top 24 or the top 8?
Yeah, Thomas Frank is building something, and rather like Xavi Alonso, he's getting off to a good start. You know, it's getting the fans in the right frame of mind. They are minded to back him. He's a very difficult guy to dislike. You know, he's been really good with his man management of players in the Premier League with Brentford. He really built a culture at that club, and if he transfers that to Tottenham, where the resources are infinitely bigger, and with the quality of talent that they already have there, defenders like Romero and Van de Ven, very, very solid players, emerging talents like Bergvall there, you know, I'd be surprised if they weren't in the top 24. I think they should be aiming for that at the least.
Well, let's hear from one of those that you mentioned who has been excellent for Tottenham last season and under Thomas Frank. Here is Mickey van de Ven after tonight's win.
We had a really good start, and of course you want to build on that, but you know Villarreal is also a really difficult team to play against. Also every time on the counter attack they keep the strikers forward, and you know they're really dangerous. So what you say, of course it's stuff where you can build on the one that you make early in the game, but at the end we got the 3 points, and I think that's the most important.
So Tuesday evening done, still to come though. And it's a busy week in the Champions League as we kick off the new league phase. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's matches and talk Thursday in this season's UEFA Champions League.
Take control of your own team of stars with UEFA Champions League Fantasy Football, presented by PlayStation. With incredible prizes up for grabs every match day, download the official Champions League app to get playing.
So two more evenings of Champions League football to look forward to. Match Day Live back on air on Wednesday from 20:45 CST. And the live commentary game is from Anfield, Liverpool, taking on Atletico de Madrid. There, of course, has been lots of anticipation for club record signing Alexander Isak's first Liverpool appearance since his move from Newcastle. And manager Arne Slot has hinted it could come on Wednesday evening.
There's definitely a chance because he's in the squad. So then there's a chance to play, but it's... I would normally always say 99.9% sure, but I can say it's 100% sure that he will not play 90 minutes. But he's part of the squad, so it's already a Champions League game to look forward to. But if people look forward to his playing time, that could mean that that could happen tomorrow as well.
So he's in the squad, and there are many Liverpool fans listening and who will head to Anfield that will absolutely love to watch him, I am sure, Kevin. I mean, they've got a serious squad now, the reigning English champions. Ran Paris Saint-Germain very close last season in the knockouts. Another team who will be looking to get off to a winning start, but that's a really difficult opening game for them as well.
It is, and Atletico Madrid have had a famous win at Anfield in recent years. Marcos Llorente played so well that he called his dog Anfield afterwards in celebration because he scored a couple of goals. But Liverpool are in a really good place right now because they've won every game they've played in the Premier League without playing particularly well. And even if Isak wasn't to start that game, it's fine because Hugo Ekitike is playing really well. So all the pieces aren't quite fitting together for Liverpool yet. A lot of new players, but it will settle down. And the winning games.
I just wonder, we've been talking tonight about Arsenal a little earlier on. We've been talking about Real Madrid. We've talked about the subs that came on from Juventus. We've talked about the new players now that have arrived at Liverpool to increase the depth of their squad. At the very biggest European clubs, I feel like the talent pools are deeper than ever. They are really prepared now to make, you know, serious runs in all competitions at all times.
And I think that was one of the reasons that, you know, people looked at Liverpool's squad and thought, well, where does Isak fit in? But now it's a 50-60 game season if you want to compete in all competitions.
But also coaches think about the game differently.
Yeah.
And you speak to coaches and what happens now is they think about closers, like in baseball almost, the closing pitcher. You think, right, who can come on in the last 20 and actually win me this game if it's 1-1? So I do think, and players won't always like that, they'll want to be the starter. But if you can't be, you're ready to come on and make an impact. And you look at somebody like Chiesa, who's seen as being on the fringes maybe of that Liverpool squad, and isn't involved in the Champions League this time around, but in the Premier League, he's already scored a winning goal. So that shows you just how deep it is. If even Chiesa can't make the squad for Liverpool in the Champions League, wow.
Full commentary of that match. Kickoff at 2100 CEST. The other games, the two early matches, Olympiakos taking on Paphos and Slavia Praha against Bodo Glimt from up in the north of Norway. Two great stories there that Paphos and Bodo Glimt have made it through to the league phase. And geographically, by the way, this season's Champions League phase is quite remarkable. All the way from Almaty in the east of Kazakhstan to Bodo Glimt to Lisbon. I mean, we're talking about a serious landmass and many, many millions of people tuning into the UEFA Champions League. The three late games, apart from the commentary match, the holders get their defence underway. Paris Saint-Germain against Atalanta. It's Bayern against Chelsea.
What a game.
What a game that is, by the way, in Munich. And Ajax-Inter, not bad, on Wednesday as well. I mean, Richard, the whole kind of ethos about this league phase is bigger matches earlier. I've just named a couple there which might, well, they may well this season, well, but that they could have graced the quarterfinal or semi-final.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to pick a commentary match, isn't it? It's a good job there's a show like ours which can bring you all the news of all the goals as they go in.
Said it perfectly, didn't he? That Bayern Chelsea game, by the way, I've watched a lot of Bayern this season already, and going forward they are unbelievably good because Musiala's injured at the moment, so you're thinking how they're going to deal with that. Oh, it's all right, Serge Gnabry's going to play lights out in every single game, and they've brought in Nicholas Jackson, so there's another option. Obviously he's come from Chelsea, so,
and Olise,
for me, the best player in German football
right now. Brilliant.
He's unbelievable and has been from the moment he arrived. But the same old issue with them is the line too high defensively? Can you get around them at the back? But they are great to watch.
It's going to be brilliant. On Thursday, commentary match. How about this? Newcastle against Barcelona. Memories of Faustino Asprilla for those who watch football in the 90s.
Those who were old enough, Chris.
Yes, yes.
Like you and Kevin.
There's another one.
The other late games, Sporting hosting Kairat Almaty. It's Eintracht Frankfurt Galatasaray. That will be some atmosphere there. And Manchester City hosting the current Italian champions Napoli, which means a return for Kevin De Bruyne, wouldn't you just know it, on night one of this season's UEFA Champions League. And the early games, Club Brugge against Monaco and Copenhagen against Leverkusen, who have a new coach already who knows the Parkenstadion.
Yes.
Very, very well.
He does. Kasper Juhlmann, who was the Danish coach who got them to the semi-finals of the European Championship. And he made a winning start on Friday. They finished that game 9 against 11. They had two men sent off and still managed to see it through. He's got a lot to sort out there, a lot of new players, but Leverkusen have got some real talent there.
So we have 12 more matches to look forward to in the UEFA Champions League phase this week. But it started very nicely on Tuesday, didn't it? Our main commentary game saw Real Madrid see off Marseille by 2-1. A double from the spot from tonight's official player of the match. And we can hear from Kylian Mbappe now.
Yeah, this is the DNA of Real Madrid. Whatever happened, you can always win. You have to trust yourself. You have to trust your teammate, all the people around you, the stadium that push you to win. And that's what we did today, because when we had the red card, nobody in the team was stressed. We wanted to push and to be ready to give the win and to give this pleasure to the fans.
brilliant to hear from Kylian Mbappe, who has 6 goals already this season in all competitions. Difficult question to finish, gents. Moment of the night. It can be from the Bernabeu or any of the other games.
Well, my head's still in the match that we commentated on earlier, so I would say Timothy Weah's goal for Marseille, because it was the moment that really laid down the narrative. It was the reward for Marseille's courageous approach, and it provided the hurdle, the test for Real Madrid, which they in the end passed, as Kylian Mbappe so eloquently stated, that the idea of Real Madrid is to combat that adversity, and they proved it once again. But that goal was a thrill. It gave us that moment. It was beautifully taken, and then it set up the story for the match to develop.
Karabakh's win at Benfica. And a shout out for Hurban Hurbanov, the coach, who's been in charge since 2008. What a moment for him.
Yeah.
To have come close, not quite made it. Now they get through again to the group phase and they win. Yeah. I mean, and it's a great nod to his coaching as well, because they didn't just come and dig in. They didn't give up. They played their football and they scored some great goals.
Reached the round of 16 in the UEFA Europa League a couple of years ago, but now at it in the UEFA Champions League. And what a night it was to kick off this season's league phase. As we mentioned, 23 goals across the 6 matches. Wins for Real Madrid, Arsenal and Tottenham, plus first ever successes in the competition for Karabakh and the Belgium side Union Saint-Gilloise on their debut match. Don't forget, you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night in this season's competition. My thanks to Richard and Kevin for their company. And remember, we're back on Wednesday evening, full commentary of Liverpool against Atletico from Anfield, as well as the goals as they go in from the rest of the games across Europe. Until then, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.